under it, but I'll just do it. Welcome back to Howie Mandel Does Stuff. And you're?
Jacqueline Schultz.
And we all do stuff. And we're continuing this episode with the shenanigans and tomfoolery of my good friend and brilliant comic and new papa and husband and I guess spokesperson for free for like a website that has threesomes. Brad Williams is continuing.
Like, so I did a show one time in Odessa, Texas. And during the show, I had to kick out a heckler. When the show was done, I was going to my car with the opening act. And so we saw some headlights turn on from a pickup truck. And a guy started the truck and yelled out the window, "Kill the dwarf!"
Oh, so he used the right terminology.
Yes.
Thank God.
But I wasn't going to stop and be like, "Oh, thank you for the terminology. I appreciate you." A Texan in a pickup truck yells out, "Kill the dwarf." You run. Can you swear? We've said paintbrush. You fucking run. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
You go. So, yeah. So for me, it's all about context.
Did you get away?
Yes, thank God.
That wasn't one of the car accidents that you were referring
to? That was not one of the car accidents.
That is that really true? You've been hit by a car?
3 times. Yes.
Where are you from?
Orange County, California.
Wow.
And yeah, so now when I say hit, you may think, oh, 3 car accidents. Brad's a bad driver. I was not in the car for either of the 3 times.
You're a pedestrian.
Yes. All 3 were very similar, where I'm walking in a parking lot. Someone turns on their car, backs up.
And says, screams, "Kill the dwarf."
And they feel a little thump thump and think that they just ran over someone.
Wait, they backed
box.
Over you.
Once, the tires have never gone over me. But
did you get knocked over?
Yes.
Were you under the car?
No. 2 times I went to the side. They knocked me to the side. 1 time I jumped up and actually was able to get up on the trunk. So
that's got
to
scare the shit out of somebody. Boom, and then Brad's on your trunk.
You just like look back. Yeah, so that's
like a
happened
scary
then.
Movie.
Yeah. They thought it was "I Still Know What You Did Last Summer."
Did you get hurt? That hook.
Yeah, not severely, nothing crazy, but yeah, some bumps and bruises. So yes, I used to sell a shirt that says "I break for little people," so we can advertise that. Now we have backup cameras and beepers and things like that. I could have used these things years ago. It would have.
Yeah, and you think they came out of that? That we came out with those kind of inventions because of you?
Yes, probably. Probably someone had a family member or friend that was taken from us in a very similar way and thought, "Never again," and then invented the backup camera. I'm almost sure of it.
But I have an idea for a shirt for you.
Okay.
For me?
Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm. Do you know what you're sitting on?
Wait.
The chairs.
Oh, the chairs?
Yeah.
Do you often ask people, "Do you know what you're sitting on?"
I was trying to avoid it today because she makes fun of me. I'm always saying
it. Of it.
Look at the plaque there, Brad.
Not the plaque. Hold on. Oh, yeah, look at that.
Do you know what you're sitting on?
I even read that upside down. Yeah, it's the Johnny Carson seats. That's
yeah, these
fantastic.
Are just from the front yeah. row of the Tonight
Show. I thought Merv
show.
Griffin had the whole thing, no?
Remember that? You're talking about the Merv Griffin set. That was in Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, yeah. I'm getting my realities and my shows mixed up. Oh, that's fantastic. You have three chairs here from that. That's now, do you have the rest of the set somewhere else?
I do have pieces of the set. I have some of his... Johnny Carson's
wow.
Comedy that he did from the desk, like the cards that he would hold up.
Yeah.
I have that over there, which is the center booth from the original Caesar's Palace.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How do you find these things?
I don't. I steal and take.
He's a hoarder.
I'm a hoarder
okay.
of everybody else's stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not. There's no reason for me to have Johnny Carson seats or the Caesar's Palace seats, but I love just...
Now, is there like one... So like our mutual friend... Adam Carolla collects Paul Newman race cars. That's
right.
That's what he collects. Is there like one thing?
Yes. I have over 3,500 bottles of Paul Newman ranch dressing.
Well, it's for the kids. He's got the charity. So it's really for the kids.
Yeah.
So good job.
I don't really collect anything because I am a hoarder.
Okay.
Like people, and you find this in this business, people will give you a thing. You go to a club, they give you a t-shirt.
Yeah.
You know, I never throw anything out.
Okay.
I don't look, my kid is still here.
I was about to make a Texas joke.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Never mind.
Do you want more kids?
No. We want one and done because of when our daughter was born, and then the world shut down, and we essentially had to parent by ourselves. Like we couldn't have any help because we didn't want to get anyone sick. Lord knows we didn't want to get her sick. So we was all us. So based on that experience, we're like, well, we're not doing that again.
Yeah.
No. I'm not having a child in a world pandemic again.
Yeah.
Is she like the epitome of a pandemic baby where you see those videos afterwards when they go out to like the supermarket for the first time and they're just like, oh my gosh, after
kinda
a year?
I've seen a lot of videos where a lot of young kids uh-huh. now think that every item is hand sanitizer dispenser. Like they walk up to shopping carts and just hold their hands under them, like, and they just expect hand sanitizer. Like, wow, the side effects we never saw coming. But my daughter doesn't do well with strangers right now, and especially strangers that come in and like say something loudly, like "Hey!" like that scares her.
And you have strangers walk in and go, "Hey!"
Yeah. we're on that. That's one of the stops on the Star Homes tours.
Yeah.
Yeah. They stop for my house and they go, oh, no, you can just go up to Brad's house and scream as a kid. No, but we have friends that come over, but she hasn't met them before. And so they're strangers to her. And then
how old is she now?
I'm doing that weird math. She's 18 months, 19 months.
Right. Yeah. And at what point do you stop counting the months? We haven't. With
2 years.
24 months.
2 years. Yes. Okay, good. We're on the same page.
Why?
Because that's when they stop counting the months in like clothing and stuff like that.
Yeah, then it's just your two. Then
that's good. I'm going to stop because I was going, well, you're 3,640 months and you look great for your age.
You
don't look a day over 3,000 months, to
Thank
be
you.
Honest with you.
Thank
so
you.
That's great. Fantastic. But yeah, so I don't, if we do have another child, and we've talked about this, my wife and I, where we'd want to adopt. And we'd want to adopt a dwarf child. And we went real silly and fun. Now we'll get slightly serious. There's a lot of dwarf children that are out there that you can adopt because parents have the kid. And they go, I don't want to deal with that.
Aww.
So they put the kid up for adoption. And that's very common. And so we'd like to do that at some point. A lot of dwarf children come from China because they had the one child policy. So if you have your one child and that one child happens to be a little person, they're more than likely not going to keep that child.
Oh my gosh.
It's horrible. It's very sad. So, but if we do have another kid, that's how we would do it. And hopefully they'd be potty trained and sleeping and like we'd go through that first phase already. Like like we'd be past.
Oh, he's talking about an older one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a 3 or 4 year old. That's what we're looking for.
Though with girls, if mm-hmm. they're not potty trained, they'll always that ensures they'll always be home early and you'll know where they are.
Very true. Ooh, I'm kind of weighing the options now.
Yeah.
Your
daughter's, well, that's not even close to potty training.
No. Year and a half, she's not Yeah, but
your wife is potty trained, right?
Thank God. I wouldn't want to have to change two sets of diapers right
just
now.
Just don't potty train your daughter, is what he's saying.
You know
and
what?
Then you don't have to
Not
worry
gonna.
About guys usually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was always my thing. If like if I took out a woman and she shit herself,
yeah,
I would just crack the window and take her home. Because
you're such a gentleman, Howie.
I'm so sensitive. And I would turn the car around counterclockwise. We would discuss it. I'm taking you home. You shit yourself. I'm going to move.
Professional.
Yes.
Howie Mandel is a professional comedian.
What are you working on now? Are you touring? Did you get back on the road at all?
Yes. I'm now back on the road pretty full time. If you look at my tour schedule, you can see I've got dates almost every weekend until August 2022 is my.
Are you nervous out there?
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I am. Like I said, I'm fully vaxxed. I don't hang around like with the, and I even do meet and greets after the shows.
Really?
Yeah.
And snowballing.
Just snowballing everybody. I try to do the Howie Mandel, like the
fist bump
and then just kind of, okay, let's take our photo. And I don't touch people anymore. I try to keep my hands.
Sounds like
yeah.
My whole life.
Yeah. And I know there's a risk.
But why wouldn't you cut out the meet and greets? Like, why wouldn't you do something different?
Because that's where I make a lot of money afterward.
Oh, you sell the shirts.
Yeah, I sell shirts and tank tops and things like that.
I break so, for
yeah.
For
I now I have a shirt that says I'm at the perfect height to punch you in the dick. you can get this shirt from my website, bradwilliamscomedy.com. But yes, and that shirt came because of social distancing. I like social distancing. I want to continue it in some way, shape, or form. So I thought I'll wear a shirt that says I'm at the perfect height to punch you in the dick, and then people will back the fuck up. So yeah, that's the new shirt that I'm selling. And but now I'm gonna have to do "Don't Yuck My Yum." I think that's a great shirt.
Don't Yuck My Yum. Yeah. I think is a great philosophy. She's a smart girl. What did she do when you met her?
Wife was, and we'll probably go back to it at some point. She was a behavioral therapist, so she
a behavioral therapist on yes. Thrinder.
Yes,
I love this.
She's pretty amazing.
Talk about behavioral.
Yeah,
I love this.
Yeah. For kids.
Yeah, specifically children with autism. So she would run programs with them and so God bless, like she would come home some days and she would be essentially beaten up by the kid or something like just they're really hard days. And from what she described to me, the parents are sometimes the most difficult because they will say things like, "When are you going to cure my child?" And she would have to be like, "I'm not."
Right.
Like I'm not. And they're like, "Well, why are we paying you?" It's like, "Well, I'm trying to get your kid to be able to function in everyday society. There's no cure. Like you're expecting me to be a magic bullet. I'm trying to get the kids so they can function." So that those are very difficult conversations to have with parents, obviously. So yeah, it's the Lord's work. They don't get paid enough. She's looking.
Well, that makes me great that she has that background in being a mom.
Yeah. Oh no, that's one of the. It's funny. I've got a few comedian friends that are like, oh, they're saying that they're going to be single for their whole lives. They're just going to be confirmed bachelors. And when I got married, obviously based on some of the stories you've heard, I had quite the past. we're still waiting on the girl from Oxnard.
Is she going to answer?
I don't know. We're still trying to figure that out. But people would ask me like, when did you know that, oh, you're going to get married to that woman? And I would say when I looked at her and said, that's the mother of my kid, like that's it. Like you can't, because I want to be a dad at some point. And I also know that I'm not going to be around a lot because of the lifestyle in terms of touring. Like I'm only home 3-4 days a week. So I knew that I had to marry a woman that was very strong and could be home and would know what to do and not freak out while I'm gone because I can't do anything while I'm at the Funny Bone in Columbus, Ohio. Like right. I can't. So I did. And when I found that woman, it was like on a threesome app. Didn't know I was going to find her on the app.
Right.
But and it was one of those things where even on our first date, when we were kind of joking that the third lady didn't show up, the plan was, okay, let's meet each other. Let's talk. Let's get like, let's make sure we're not psychotic and then go do a thing and then probably never see you again. You know, just a one and done. And then literally 5 minutes into the date, we both were like, ah, shit, I like you. Like, this is good. This is, we're doing well, and there's a connection. And then the more we talked, we found out we have a lot of the same values and a lot of the same philosophies. And in terms of, like, I always think that when you're trying to find a partner, you should find someone that fills in the gaps that you have. So, like, what you are not good at, your partner should be good at. And we kind of do that for each other. She is an amazing behaviorist, and she's a parent and organizer and cook and everything like that. I make money.
That's the end of the list.
That is what I'm good at. Because unfortunately, like I said, behavioral therapist doesn't pay a lot. It should, but it doesn't. So yeah, that's where we kind of fill in the gaps.
And did your families accept each other?
Yeah. That was really cool because I was terrified to meet her mother because my wife is not a dwarf. So that's how you know I'm really good at my job. Brad, you're a comedian. Are you funny? Look, that's who I got. But I was terrified because, you know, your average parent doesn't. When they picture their child's eventual spouse is not picturing someone who looks like me, is not picturing a little person. And that's just honest, you know? And so I was worried, but my mother-in-law is fantastic. She was more nervous that I would not like her. And I'm like,
wow.
I'm like, you made this woman I'm in love with. Yeah, I'm a fan. You've done some good work. So I was happy with it. And my family just loves the hell out of her. My dad tells her all the time, like, how lucky I am that,
oh, wow,
that I met her. So yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, your parents are alive?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And are they supportive of, were they always supportive of you going into stand-up comedy?
No. No. But as they were not supportive in a way that as a parent you probably should be, because I dropped out of college with a year to go.
But where were you majoring?
I was majoring in communication, so we didn't lose a cancer cure. Yeah. Okay, like, it's not like we would have flying cars by now if Brad just stayed in school. No, communication. So I was trying to be a broadcast journalist or like a sports announcer. That's what I was trying to be. And then I found comedy. I was like, well, this is what I want to do. So I dropped out. So that was a fun conversation to have with the parents. So they didn't support it for a little bit because they wanted me to just to go back to school, get my degree, finish, and then maybe try stand-up comedy. I was like, no, I got to go now. So, but then once I bought a house, they're like, oh, this is good. And like, I had a house before a lot of my friends.
What I was wondering is, and this is just speaks to a sense of humor, a big part of your act was being a dwarf.
Yeah.
And what life was like. And sure. I would think that even though, you know, humor is always the flip side of maybe a darker thing. Sure. I would imagine as a parent, watching my son talk about, even though people are laughing, I'm wondering if they had any reservations about you talking about what you were talking about.
My dad never.
Wait, there's the fish guy. Where's the girl from Oxnard? Can we get her on the phone or no?
Do we know about her?
I called my friend, he's a comedian that was performing with you that night.
Oh, okay.
He was like, I don't know, I was pretty drunk. So I actually Facebook phone called the girl that I thought it was it.
Yeah.
She denied it really hard, but got really weird. So I think something got weird and there might have been some snowballing.
All right. Okay. That's a good catch up. I don't understand what happened.
And we're done with the list. Okay.
So we're talking about your parents reacting to your material.
Yeah, my dad was fine with it. He loved it. He was a lawyer, so he's public speaking. He was very funny and gave me my sense of humor to kind of do a weird story. Like, my dad was very aware that I was different, and his goal was, no, I'm gonna teach you how to be funny. Because that's going to really help you.
Are your parents
tall
dwarves?
No, they're all tall. I'm the only one. I've done.
Do you have siblings?
Yeah, all tall. I'm the only one. I've done family research projects. I've gone back. 23andMe doesn't look like Snow White's friends. Like it's just me. But my dad was really good of teaching me, like, hey, when you meet people, like, make a short joke. So you know, so they'll know that you're comfortable with it. And then also teaching me, if someone said something hurtful to me, to have a comeback, like, right there. And we would write comebacks, like, before I would go to school.
Really?
We'd sit and, like, write, like, okay, so if someone says, ha ha, you're little, this is what you say. Literally the first day of school, I got sent to the principal's office because a kid walked up, went like, ha ha, you're little. And I went, ha ha, your mom doesn't live with your dad anymore.
How old were you?
Kindergarten.
That's brilliant for kindergarten.
Yeah, but I was raised in Orange County, so we had like a 75% chance of getting that one right.
Yeah.
and I did. So then it was a great thing where I got sent to the principal's office. The principal was like, I'm calling your father. And I'm like, go for it. And called my dad in his office, got hold of him. And my dad, I remember on the phone, he goes, he heard the story. And then he goes, I just have one question. Did he start it or did he finish it? And the principal was like, well, he finished it. But he goes, then I have no problem. Click. Hung up.
Wow.
And so my dad was like, kind of, even though he wanted me to get my degree, he was really happy that I was in stand-up because he's like, this is what I've created. Like, he essentially created me as a comedian. My mom terrified. She's deathly afraid of public speaking. Deathly afraid. So,
but also you're her baby, you know?
Yeah, and I'm the youngest. It makes sense.
Like, I can even think my brother does stuff on the internet and posts videos and stuff. And I
Of the whiskey ball licking?
No. That's not Kyle.
That's not Alex. That's Kyle.
So my brother would post videos and stuff too on the internet. And obviously on the internet, there's backlash and haters and stuff like that. Yeah, and my mom was always the one like that would go read the comments and then write back like, he's a nice young man. So like, I think it's just a mom thing.
You know what though? It's a parent thing. Right now, I could tell you right now, like, I'm worried for the first time I'll be out in public and someone says something about my kid. I'm scared because I can take it. You say something to me, you say a hateful comment, what I don't care.
But you weren't always able to take it, right? You had to learn.
Yeah, I had to learn how to take it, grew that thick skin, and I know, and it's that thing where it's like, you know it's gonna happen. She's not gonna go through her entire life with everyone just being like, oh,
she's of short stature.
Oh, yes. Sorry. My daughter's a dwarf as well. We had my wife's Chinese. I'm a dwarf. We had an Asian dwarf baby. It's the most adorable thing. It's the cutest baby you've ever seen. Like, name your cute baby, Baby Yoda. Fuck off. Nothing off. Nothing on an Asian dwarf baby. Just throwing that out there. So, like, eventually she'll probably get made fun of in some way, shape, or form. And that's going to be really hard for me not to kill that person.
Right. But that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Like, how did you, any of your kids get bullied growing up or?
Yeah. Right.
I did, but I don't know if I told you about it.
No, you didn't tell me, but it was tough. Your sister did.
My sister did. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was really tough.
How do you?
But it was just people were mean and it was really hard not to hit them.
Yeah.
I didn't hit them, but I was thinking more along the lines of when your mother is sitting there watching you and your humor is about maybe dwarfism or growing up or how people react to you.
Yeah.
I would always be afraid that for the exact reason you're doing it, like your father did it, it made it okay because you were, you know, if you're telling a joke, didn't you find that other people that you were but you give them license to say things to you.
Oh, yeah.
And that doesn't really give, you're diffusing any, by your humor, diffuses people's thoughts.
Totally.
But some people don't get that messaging and think, oh, he's making fun of it. I can make fun of it.
Yes, I get that a lot in the meet and greets afterward, where people come up and go, hey, you know what you should say? And it's not even like a joke.
No.
It's like, you know, you're tiny as fuck. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, okay, I kind of covered that. you know, or like they have a dwarf joke and everyone writes me dwarf jokes and I know all of them. And some of the ones people write me, I'm like, I wrote that. That's on my first album. Like, that's my joke, you know? So that happens sometimes.
But as a mother, I'm saying you're out there and you're going, oh, I hope they're not giving these people, you know, license to laugh at instead of with.
Yeah. I think my mom, she eventually saw what I was doing, which, and I kind of had to explain this to her, but I go, Mom, whenever you see a dwarf on TV, it's always a writer wrote those lines. A producer is producing it. A director is directing it. And they're all not little people, assumingly. And so it's not the little person's message. They're being paid, but they're delivering the message that's not theirs. This, me doing stand-up, that is authentically my message. I'm controlling it. I can tell these people exactly what it is and humanize this and put a face behind it to where they'll be more educated about it. And it's because whenever you would see a dwarf on TV, it would always be, you know, the elf, the leprechaun, the whatever. So, and now this is bringing that out of the fantasy world and into reality. There's a real person standing right in front of you talking about their real life experiences. And I think it kind of, it legitimizes that perspective.
And how we just, people just need, I think there's a short supply of respect in this world for everybody and for anybody that looks different than what you perceive
to be
your normal.
Normal is.
Right. So I just think, have you ever considered writing a movie?
Yeah.
Your life is a movie.
There's there's two stories I want to write. One is my story, but then the second one, I don't have the rights to it yet, so I don't know if I should write. But whatever, it's fine. There's a story that I know would be good. That if someone ever did this, it would win Oscars, and so I want to be at least, if not in the movie, tell the damn story. There was a group of Jewish little people. I'm not Jewish, but hopefully I could play one. In the concentration camps that were forced.
Are you circumcised?
Yes.
Good. So you already.
You have a leg up.
The third leg up.
I can fake it. Yeah, I can fake it. There was a group. There was a group of dwarves. I believe they were a family, and they survived the concentration camps because they performed for the Nazis.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And they performed, and there was a bunch of experiments done on them by Nazi doctors, and they got through it through performing. And
so have you tried to – who do you need the rights of?
I'm trying to figure that out right now because I need – I don't even care if I tell the story. I want that story
I'll help
told.
You. I'll help you.
I would get love that.
Have you told. Have you reached out? Have you reached out to the? Do you know what the families? You don't have to say it here.
Yeah,
but
there's extended members of the families, and
all you need is tough. You need to just. Well, it's not tough because all you need
you
is
you know you can do stuff.
Well, you know, but you just need to find one person that gives you the consent, and then the other thing is you can say based on a true story. It doesn't have to be about them. Everybody who went through the Holocaust had their way of dealing, and you know that's.
Yeah, I believe there's been a documentary made on them. I'm not sure what it's called, but I could probably go through.
But your story, you know, when you talk about with your father and he gave you a sense of humor and he built you out, there's a great right to a big sold out concert, albums and Netflix.
That was my second special. My second special was called Daddy Issues.
Right.
And that's – and. It's this whole thing about my relationship with my father, and then it's currently streaming on Amazon Prime, so you can watch that if you want. Brad Williams' Daddy Issues. It's a lot of that stuff.
We'll put it in the notes underneath. Cool.
Right? Thank you. Yeah, and
yeah, well, he's got it.
Yeah,
he's doing it.
And yeah, so and ends with the story of my dad fighting and overcoming cancer. So it
oh wow
yeah and
what kind of cancer did you
have? Skin cancer. And the coolest part was I'm filming the special, my dad's there, the audience doesn't know my dad's there, but my dad's there, and I'm getting to this part of the act where I know like it's about that and all that experiences that we all had, and I get to that part and I know where my dad's sitting, and I'm like, I can't look at him. If I look at him, I'm going to fucking lose it. And then of course, you say, I can't look at him. Don't look down. You look down. So I look at my dad. My dad's crying.
Oh.
I start to cry. And I stop the material. And I have this moment with him where I just go, thank you. Thank you for everything you did. Thank you for everything you taught me. Thank you for teaching me how to be a man. And we left that in.
Wow.
We left that in the special. It's my favorite part of the special. And it's just a really authentic. And how many kids get that chance to do that to their parent is actually tell them.
Well, you're really, you know, I'm sitting here with my daughter and, you know, family, and my son is there, and Jeremy.
We don't talk about the other one.
We don't talk about But the thing is that's what's moved me in all this craziness that we're talking about. Anytime you hook in the family, and whether that be your daughter, your wife, your parents, it is so strong and so evident.
So...
And I'm telling you, I'm from this podcast, I'm going to go download on Amazon and watch Daddy Issues, which I haven't I haven't seen yet.
Thank
but you make people want to watch you, and you're a great storyteller.
Thank you, sir.
And a great orator. And you just no, he is when he and having nothing to do with. Your life experience. I just love hearing you talk on stage and you command that audience.
Thank you. That's very, very kind. High praise coming from you, certainly.
I know.
But isn't it crazy, though? And I don't know if you notice this, but now that I have a daughter and a kid, it's like when anything family comes up, whether it be in entertainment or movies or whatever, like it hits me.
Yeah,
it like
that's like you with Click. Right?
Click? Yeah. Oh, the movie Click.
The movie Click. He went to go watch it with his friend, who's also a comedian. Just them two.
John Mendoza.
Okay. No, John.
And they came out of the movie, and they watched it just together, just the two of them, and they both came out crying. Because
it made me cry.
I've heard this.
Fast forward through your daughter's life.
And you miss it.
And you miss it.
Yeah.
And both of us being comedians, up until COVID started, we were out 90% of the time. Her first 5 years, she came on the road with me. But
I was on the road with him when I was younger. But then once my brother and sister were born, we stayed home and he was gone most of the time.
All the time.
Yeah. All the
now,
time.
Okay. So now I have a fascinating opportunity right here. Because I get to talk to a daughter of a stand-up comic and pretend your dad's not here right now, okay? Like you normally do when you're talking about snowballing and paintbrushing and dog style and things like that. Like that experience of having a father who's gone, who's loving you, and this is before FaceTime, so it's like maybe you got a phone call a few times a week, once a week maybe, but like, did you understand why he was gone?
Maybe not at the very beginning when I was really young. But as I got a little bit older and I could understand, I did know that he was gone for work. And for me, the time he did spend with us and with his family and with his kids was so meaningful that it was much more powerful and rewarding. And it kind of like it made it so the time he was away wasn't as bad.
Okay, so he didn't come home and then say
he wasn't home like, oh, I've been tired and working.
Now I gotta go out with my guy buddies or go out to the golf course or whatever. That like he was like home, I'm home, I'm gonna have some fun with my kids.
When he was home, it was all time with the family and kids.
That's good.
Yeah.
And so you learned to understand why he was gone.
And like, also, it was very evident that he always put family first. Cause I remember he was working and even when I was in college, I had meningitis and he was working. When he found out I had meningitis, he flew within an hour to come be at the hospital. And then he flew me to Vegas in a hotel room where he still had to work and was with me the whole time to take care of me. So no matter what, family always came first for him. And it was very evident.
Now with her with meningitis, were you in full hazmat suit?
Yeah.
It was. So I think she got college. Your daughter has been diagnosed with meningitis. First, it just freaked me out.
Sure.
For her health.
Anytime you hear your daughter's been diagnosed, there's very few things that can follow that. Like, she's been diagnosed with being a genius. Like that's not happening.
No.
So you're already on edge. And
no,
did you immediately have to Google meningitis?
No, I knew. I know what. Know meningitis. Anything that you could possibly catch.
Oh,
I'm a veritable cornucopia of information for. I knew.
He's Web Howie.
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, we got her vaccinated against meningitis, but you didn't get that.
I didn't get bacterial. I got viral meningitis.
Okay, because there's differences.
There's differences.
There is. But then when I got to the hospital, she was in the, I can't remember what the sign said, but it was a quarantine area. So they put me in a full mask and everything. And
they're like, can I take this home with me?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, but I walked in the room and she was there. And I had to hold you while they gave you a spinal.
That's where he came because I wasn't going to get the spinal tap. And he made me get it. So for him, even though he was working, he wasn't even in California. He took the first flight he could to be there. Mm-hmm. Like, it was always very evident. That
and I always, even with my phobias in German, I was the guy that took you to the hospital.
Yeah. He was the one taking care of us at night when we were sick, even though he was a germaphobe.
I'd go sleep in a guest house after, but I would come in to do the nursing.
And I've heard you tell a story that I don't know which child it was, but you've told a story before where one of your children shat all over you.
Not shat, peed.
Peed
it's
all over
this
you.
One.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this one. Yeah. Okay.
It's this one. Yes.
Surprised he had other kids after me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I told that on one of the podcasts but didn't air.
No, it was the first episode and then we didn't air it.
Oh, it was like a pilot episode where you're trying to figure it out.
Yeah, we were trying to figure it out. But for those that don't know, that was this is a lesson. So when does potty training start? Like, when does it start?
As soon as she can walk. It's like, all right, You're gonna
so
go.
No, it's when they're ready, by the way.
Okay.
Okay.
I should consult my wife on this, but yeah.
But the thing about it, so my wife was very, you know, as a mother, because sounds like your wife too, very astute at mothering and rules. Yeah. There was books and like she took care of the potty training, and it was all. And this was, because I'm away, this was going to be the first time that I was going to go take the baby for the afternoon.
Mm.
You know, she was totally potty trained.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, a father-daughter drive would be nice.
That's great.
So we, her mom dressed her, we put her in the car, and we drove along. We're driving, I can't remember where we were going, but we were on the Ventura Freeway when Jackie here says, Daddy, I got to go potty.
Mm-hmm.
We had left the house like 10 minutes before. I go, well, can you hold it? And then when we get to wherever we're going to go, she goes, no, I can't hold it. I go, well, then let me just try to get off. And she goes, no, I'm going to go now. I go, you can't go now. Don't go now. And she goes, I'm going to go now. I'm going to go. I go, don't, Chad, don't. And I pull over to the side, and I'm on the shoulder of the Ventura Freeway. And I take her out of the car seat, and I'm carrying her. She's just like two, and I'm carrying her. And I the side of the Ventura Freeway, closer to the West Valley, has all these shrubs on the side.
Yeah.
So I figure I'll go into the trees shrubs. There.
Yeah,
and so I step down into the shrubs.
Yeah.
It's not shrubs. It's a
embankment.
An embankment
that
goes down. So my foot, I lost my footing. I'm holding on to my little girl. I lost my footing. I start to grab Jackie, and I'm sliding down, and twigs are breaking.
Yeah.
My pants are ripping.
Oh my God.
The blood is on my on my leg, and she's screaming, no, no, no. Yeah. And then we finally get to the bottom, and I land in a muck-filled green puddle of goo, of shit I've never seen before in my life. But I'm holding her out of the water, and she's going, Daddy, I gotta go. I go, look, okay, all right. And I undo her mother had put her in a onesie, like a jumpsuit.
Yeah.
And so I undo it, and I pull it around her ankles, and I hold her under her arms.
Yeah.
And I say, go. And she goes, no, I'm gonna make pee pee on my clothes, because her legs were hanging below her.
Right.
So I hadn't had that much experience with a little girl before. So I said, put your feet up on my neck. Put your feet up on my, I take off her pants. Yeah, I said, put your feet up on your neck. And then thinking that she would pee down.
Yeah.
But apparently the pee follows the feet.
Yeah. I can tell you that.
So the feet. Is that from another app?
Thrinder. No. That's from
That's Peener.
That's from Peener. App Dad.
App Dad.
That's just from being dad.
So she starts to piss, and I'm going, oh. It's in my face. She's pissing all over me, and I'm screaming, and then she starts to scream, and I've swallowed a bunch of piss, and she's naked, and she's got piss all over the clothes that were at the end of her feet, and I take those off, and she's naked, and then I'm covered in piss and bleeding, and my pants are ripped. And
she says, the aristocrats.
And I'm trying to climb up, and every time I get halfway up, I grab onto twigs, and they break, and I slide down. God. I'm in the mud. Finally, after what seems like an eternity, is probably a half hour, I make my way up through the hedges, and I'm like 400 yards from where the car is, and I come out of the embankment.
Yeah.
My pants are ripped. I'm bleeding. I'm soaked with urine and all this shit. There's a naked little girl crying, covered in mud, and I come out through the trees, and a car slows down and goes, are you Howie Mandel? And I go, no! No! And they drive on, and I had to drive her home, and this is the first time my wife has let me out with her since.
And it's only so you can go make more money.
Yeah.
There we go.
That's so, every dad every involved father hopefully has a story like
to
that.
To be pissed on?
Something. You can ask my wife, what's the happiest day of your life? She will not say our wedding. She will not say the day my daughter was born. She will say the day that it was bath time. She handed me the naked baby, and then just confetti cannon poop all over my face. Just right in my face.
Oh.
And that was, I've never seen my wife laugh so
hard.
Just, oh my God.
You know what you gotta do when you're holding a naked baby and you're going, you gotta talk about it beforehand. I'm gonna move counterclockwise.
move
the
anus,
callback. I think we've covered everything. You wanna do a prank phone call?
We can do a prank phone call.
And then we'll go before we wrap it up.
Sure.
You gotta run?
No, not at all. I'm free from baby. I'll stay here all day.
Yeah.
This is a break.
So okay. Here's some options that Caroline sent us, even though she's not here right now.
We can call a fitness and wellness. Okay. You can buy workout equipment from them.
Okay.
So we can ask for something that's very inappropriate.
Okay.
A retirement place?
A retirement place to maybe we want to place our child.
In a retirement home?
Yeah.
Okay.
A sperm clinic.
Sperm clinic.
Reproductive health. Is there any way that...
Ooh.
I have sperm now. It's in a little piece of Kleenex. Can I bring it in? So I'm calling a sperm bank. Or it's a fertility center. Right? Yes. They have... This is a place, Jackie, where... For fertility, where you can, they collect.
Thank you for calling the California.
That's where I'm
the
calling.
The leading experts in fertility.
Mm-hmm.
We are in the office, but currently helping other patients. If you know your party's extension, please dial it at any time. For front office assistance, please press 1. To reach one of our dedicated nurses.
Right. The nurses? It doesn't matter.
Center for Reproduction, can you please hold?
Should I just hold it or just hold on? What are you saying?
Can you just please hold on the line?
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, one second.
You don't know when you call a fertility center or a sperm bank and they say hold on. You don't know what they're saying to hold on
in
to.
In the rapidly evolving
I know,
world of
this
fertility
is a hold.
Care, the CCR Jeremy, we'll cut this out. Emerges a leader with a unique and comprehensive
approach. There we are. Here we go.
Hi.
Hi. What are your hours? I'd like to come in and pick up. Does it go by pints or quarts as far as sperm collection? How does it go?
Are you a patient of the office?
No, but I read about your operation there, and I'm willing to come in. And is it do you have curb service, or can I come in and pick up sperm, or how does it work? What are the increments?
Let me transfer you to the office manager. One second.
This looks like a job for the office manager.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna be talking right to the manager. That's how I work. All right. All right. Or we can call Uber Jizz. Isn't there Uber Jizz?
Sorry to keep you holding. May I help you?
Oh, no problem. So I just wanted to know the increments of sperm collection. Is it pints or is it cups or how does it go? And how much if I do you deliver or do I just pick it up on my own?
I'm sorry. We're not a sperm bank.
Oh, I know. But you do sperm collections, right?
Well, for patients that are trying to get pregnant, yes.
Right. So what if, and that's what we're trying to do too. So how do I, is it curbside or do I just come in and pick it up or? How do I get it?
Well, when you come in for your consultation, Dr. Wu will explain it all to you, but we give you a sterile cup and you collect it home if that's what you want to do. Or you
No. I want to come in. I want to get the sperm from you and bring it home to my wife as a kind of a gift.
We don't have sperm here, sir.
You have no sperm there?
No, we don't. We're all females here.
No, I'm not asking for your sperm. I'm talking about you must have sperm that has been collected in these cups. There can't
be. No, we don't. We don't keep sperm, sir. We're not a sperm bank.
No, I know. That's why I want to come and take it home. But
What do you mean take it home? I'm sorry. I don't
for
understand
my wife,
what your question is.
Do you do takeout is what I'm saying. The thing is that what my wife is trying to get pregnant. How do you get pregnant without sperm? You guys collect sperm in the cups. I want to come and pick up some cups.
Okay. When you're a patient of the office, we'll give you some. Yes.
You give me sperm.
A cup. Not sperm, a cup.
Why can't I get sperm? Can I buy sperm?
We don't have sperm here. We don't have.
How can you not have sperm at a fertility clinic? How does your fertility?
I don't understand.
I don't. Go ahead.
No. Okay. The sperm is collected at the lab. We're not the lab.
Drop the mic.
Clinic.
Drop the mic. The sperm is collected at the lab. Okay.
Right.
Can you and you are in direct contact with the lab?
The lab, yes.
I'm calling you to say I need sperm. I have two cups
Well, my wife is at home and her friend, okay? And they told me to call you to get the sperm. So they're waiting at home and I'm supposed to bring home a cup of this for them.
I'm sorry. We don't do services like that, sir.
I'm not asking you to service. I'm asking just to give me your office hours, the amount of sperm I could collect, and how do I take that one cup back to the two girls?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't have the answer to that question.
It's so simple. I have two girls, one cup.
But why do you need to bring the sperm here, sir? You're not our patient. We don't collect sperm from patients that aren't our patients.
I'm collecting the sperm. I'm trying to come there to collect the sperm.
So you want to use our room to collect your sperm and then take it back to your wife?
No, to the two girls.
We don't do that.
No, I don't want to. I don't want to use the room. I want the I don't care where it comes from. I just want a cup of sperm to take home. That's it.
Okay. We don't have. I can give you an empty cup. Yes.
That's not what. Now you're being. Are you being smart with me?
I'm not being smart with you, sir. But we don't do.
I thought I was calling a professional place.
This is a professional place, and we don't collect sperm here.
So I'm not telling you to collect the sperm. I'm telling you to give me the sperm. Just one cup of sperm.
Give me the sperm from where?
The cup.
I'm sorry. I don't understand what your question is. I guess I'm stupid. I don't know.
I didn't call you stupid. Do not call yourself stupid. We do not use that word in this house. You are not stupid. You're a very smart person. And I have two girls here. I'm asking for one cup. What do I do?
You can come here for a cup. We can give you an empty cup. I have no problem with that.
What am I supposed to do with an empty cup? Where are you going to get the sperm?
I don't know, sir. You have to buy the sperm from a sperm bank if you're not going to use your own sperm.
Why would I use my own sperm?
I don't know. Do you want to purchase sperm? I can refer you somewhere.
Okay, send me to the sperm purchasing. Do they have it at? There's no sperm at Costco, is there?
No.
Is there any?
You would have to go to a bank that has it frozen there, sir.
Frozen? I don't want. We live in Southern California. I don't want frozen sperm. I'm not trying to create frozen people.
What are you planning on doing with this sperm, sir?
What am I planning on doing? I just want to pick it up and take it the cup to the two girls.
And what are they going to do with it, sir?
I think now you're getting too personal. Just give me the price, the amount. Let me come in.
I have the answers to the questions so that way I know where to direct you.
I'm coming for the cum. That's it. That's what I'm saying. Coming for the cum. Ready or not?
Here till 5 p.m.
Here I come. 5 p.m. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. I see what you did there. Brad, you have been a joy.
This has been an absolute pleasure. I love the fact that you're doing a podcast with not just your daughter, but more of your brood, more of your family. And
you should go home and start one with your daughter.
Yeah.
It's just never too early.
Just me, it would just be 2 hours of me doing the phonics song with her.
Yeah.
That's about all she likes.
Here's the poop with Brad Williams.
Baby girl, you like poop? Poop. She says she says poop now. It was like her fourth word. So
what was her first word?
Daddy.
Ah.
Staring right at me. Did it while looking at me.
Not mama?
No. She can't. She can't. She has trouble pronouncing M's. Her M's come out like B's. So she calls my wife Bob. So,
Dada and Bob.
I made a baby with Bob. We're very progressive. Me and my buddy Bob, we made a baby together.
So Bob, yeah, Dada, Bob,
yeah.
Poop is the fourth. Poop. What was the third?
She says up. So like when
she's so random.
Yeah.
No, to pick up.
Yeah.
To pick her up.
To pick up.
You get it.
Exactly. Yeah. You get it. You're a mom.
She always says it. Well, anyway, I can't thank you enough.
This was so great.
nothing else to plug, and right?
Yeah,
buy the new shirts.
Just go to my website, look at all the tour dates. If I'm not coming to your city, you live in a really small town.
Because
I'm going, like, when
everywhere?
You're, yeah, when you're going to Dayton, Ohio, like, yeah, there's I don't know when this comes out, this week, next week.
This is Tuesday.
Okay. But yes, go to my website, bradwilliamscomedy.com, click on the tour schedule, look at the tour dates, and see when I'm coming near you, and I'd love to see you in the audience, and tell me when I do a meet and greet afterward, say that you're here because of the Howie Mandel podcast. So I know who was sent by this podcast. So I know if I should do it again.
Okay.
So really, people, it's up to you. It has nothing to do with me. It's up
really
to you.
Up to you.
If you want to hear more Brad Williams, want Brad back on the show, we got to. I want to chase that movie with you. I'm being serious.
Let's do it.
I'm being serious.
Yeah.
I can't thank you enough. Do you have anything to say before we close this out?
No, that was good.
Thank you, guys.
Play the music. That was good.